ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो
Vedam manasa vishvam Trisvedam manasa vishvam Atmananu pravishyaya
Atmananu pravishyaya
Gunai kavavir abhata Kateva swapna drigyata
Tasmai namo bhagavate
Trigunaya gunatmane Tevalaya dvithi yaya Gurave brahma murtaye Trisvetam
creating
Idam
this
Manasa, by his mind,
simply by his desire,
Vishvam,
the universe.
So this first line is Markandeya Rishi's obeisance to the Lord who is creating Vishvam, universe, by his manasa, by his mind, or simply by his desire, the whole universe is created. That is powerful. Atmana, as the super soul. Anupravishya, subsequently entering. So this Lord, who is so powerful that he creates the universe just by his desire, because he has, he's sarva shaktimam, he is the possessor of all potencies. So one of his potencies is Icha Shakti. Just by his desire, things happen. What is the other name for the Icha Shakti? Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he makes his determination, it occurs. When we decide to do something, it takes so much work, hard work, to actualize it, to bring it into reality from the mental plane to the physical plane. But Krishna, just by his desire. And then, the second line, he anupravishya. What does anupravishya mean? Anyone remember? Yes, he enters into that same universe as the Atman, as the super soul, as the Paramatma. And it continues. Ya. Who? Gunai, by the modes of nature, Kurvabir, which are acting, Habati, appears, Kartaiva, as if the dua, Swapnadrik, a person who is seeing a dream, Yata, as. So here an example is being made how the Lord enters the universe and then he starts the gunas or the modes of material nature, gunai kovabir abati. He starts them, the three modes of material nature acting, and it appears as if he is doing everything directly. Or have to change your ringtone, Prabhu, if you wanted to go off in here. Only cow moos are allowed. So he's so powerful that he has his agents, the modes of material nature, the material energy working in such a way that it appears as if he's doing it, but he's empowered it to work. Like a very wealthy person, Prabhupada gave this example, he sits in his home and factories go on. And because he's the boss, this wealthy person, it appears he is ultimately the doer. What verse from the Brahma Samhita that he's the ultimate doer? Sarvakaranakaranam, yes. But he has other things to do than take care of the universe, because it's an interesting concept if you think about it, that the Lord is the creator. So the creation comes into being at some time. So what does he do before if your only concept of him is the creator, what does he do before he creates? Just how many more minutes before creation, you know? Okay, I've had a chuti since eternity, and now what? It's time to create the universe. I hope it hurries soon. I hope it's the time, because he has nothing to do. But no, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this creation of the universe is his secondary role. And he does it to facilitate the living entities. And undoubtedly, because he is Satchidananda Vigraha, everything he does causes him pleasure. But yet, this material world isn't his realm of pleasure. His realm of pleasure is the spiritual world. And that's what he's doing prior to the creation of the universe. And also during the creation of the universe. Mama Angsa Tejava, he doesn't have to put his energy into creating, maintaining, or destroying the universe, although everything is resting on him. He's such a good manager, he can stay eternally in Vrindavan and just play with whom? His dearest devotees, to be with the people who love him the most and who he loves the most because they love him the most. He's willing to love everyone the most. If we would love him the most. Ananya Mamata Vishnu Mamata Prema Sangata. This is the definition of love by Bhishma Dev and Uddhava and other great devotees. That when one's consciousness is, the love is fully given to Krishna. That's what love is. In Cantonese language, they say mo oi chai. You know what the chai means, probably. That means I love tea. But do we really love tea? I mean, do you want to love tea? Or do you want to love Krishna? And it sounds so silly, what a silly choice, but yet we do that continuously. We place our sense of affection, our mamata, our belonging, in objects that are simply not worthy of our love. So Krishna, it appears that he is doing everything in this world to a person with vision, but he's actually in Vrindavan. And then the next, and the example given, like a person in a dream, kateva swapna drigyata, a person in a dream, he seems to be acting within his dream, but actually he's not acting. Where is he when he's dreaming? He's lying in his bed. It appears that he's acting, but he's not. The verse continues.
Tasmai.
Unto him. So that person who is that potent. Now Markandeya, he firstly described the Lord, and unto that person, Nama. Obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Trigunaya. Who possesses the three modes of nature. Guna Atmane, who is the ultimate controller of the modes of nature. Now, when you think that he's the ultimate controller of the modes of material nature, what thought comes to your mind? There are many different wonderful thoughts that can come to one's mind, but what thought comes to your mind?
Yes. He's transcendent.
That he's not under the control of the modes of material nature. He's controlling the modes of material nature. One point. Any other point? Yes. Very good. Any other point? Okay. Just say if we think for a moment that we're prisoners in a very, very high security prison that you can't get out of. And who is the one in the prison controlling there's the person doing the day-to-day maintenance in the bars, and there's so many guards, and there's the manager of the prison house, right? But then, if you found out that this one person was the controller, ultimate controller of the guards in the prison house, and you're in the prison house, and do you like being in the prison house?
No.
No. I don't think anyone likes being in a prison house, even if they treat you well, which they don't treat you well, but even if they did, it's a prison as a prison. Why doesn't anyone like being in a prison house? Why? Do you like being in a prison? Would you like? Oh, I wouldn't ask anyone. How did you like it last time you were in prison? That's a bit insulting. But why don't people like being in prison?
No freedom.
No freedom, exactly. You can't do what you want when you want at all. You're controlled, completely conditioned under the control of the rules and regulations of the prison house. I don't want to get old. Get old. I don't want to die. Die. I don't want to get sick. Get sick. I don't want my vision to be lessened. Your vision will be lessened. I don't want my knees to hurt. Your knees will hurt. I don't want my teeth to fall out. It doesn't make any difference what we want. At a certain time, the prison guards say, do this. You have to do it. Why do you have to do it? Why don't you have choice? Huh? Okay, but why don't you have choice? I don't want to get it now, huh? Because, and why are you controlled? Because it's so much more powerful than you. Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya dharatya, and you can't get out. So what would you think if you found a person that was the controller of the prison? The person who's the guards, they don't have any freedom. The guard, you can't, if you make friends with the guards, it won't help you. They can't let you out. But if you make friends with and the person who's the ultimate controller of the prison, you can just say, okay, you can leave now. So therefore, many, many people who understand the nature of the prison, they approach the Supreme Lord to get out of prison. That means for liberation. But that's not even the devotees. They don't approach the Lord for that. So what kind of consciousness do the devotees have? Very, very unique, actually. They don't want anything of this world, and they don't want anything to get free from this world. Apituliyarta darsana. For them, in this world, not in this world, they don't care. What kind of consciousness do they have? Now, here, Markandeya Rishi is speaking to Lord Shiva, who worships Lord Shankarshan, and Lord Shankarshan, and therefore Lord Shiva, also are the predominating deities of Ahankar, false ego. And false ego is, that's the bars of the prison. Thinking, acting criminally against Krishna, not in our real interest. Now, he, Markandeya Rishi, is offering his obeisances to Lord Shiva, who's already said to him, whatever you want, I'll give you. Now, if someone who had unlimited potency and was also representing the still more unlimited potent asked you, I'll give you whatever you want, that would be pretty dangerous, wouldn't it, for the rest of the world? Remember that time you bumped into me? And I didn't say anything, but what I was thinking, you'll now find out. And you remember what you did? You don't remember, but I remember. I never forget what anyone ever did to me or said to me. Now is your turn to find out who I am. This is the nature of false ego. So if someone who has false ego was given this kind of freedom, oh, what havoc they would create in the world if there would be anything left of the world. And that's why people fear surrendering to God so much, is because they're afraid he's like ourselves. And if, yes, because we impose atmavan manyate jagat, we impose our consciousness upon the conception of the Supreme Lord. But he is transcendental, he is the controller of the modes, and we are under the tight control of the modes. We are caught by the bars of false ego and so many selfish, petty, envious, angry desires. And he is completely free from all that. So when we look with the lens of our own consciousness at the spiritual world where Krishna is engaged in his pastimes, what do we see? Do we see Krishna's pastimes? No, we see our own minds, practically speaking, unless we're purified. So what is this great soul, Markandeya Rishi, going to ask for? Because he's already been told by Lord Shiva that I want to give you whatever you want. What is he going to ask for? So the first thing Markandeya Rishi is appreciating the position of the Lord, and then Trigunaya Gunatmane. Oh yes, we're doing the word by words. I thought we were giving a class already. No, sorry. Trigunaya, who possesses the three modes of nature. Those modes are his possession. Guna Atmane, who is the ultimate controller of the modes of nature. Kevalaya, to the pure. Avityaya, who has no equal. He is known as Asama Udva. No one is Sama, equal to him, and Udva. No one is better than him. So you're talking to the top person here in the organization, who's got the control over the whole thing. Materials? No. Spiritual. Guruve, the spiritual master. Brahma-murtaye, the personal form of the Absolute Truth. Now listen to the translation very carefully, please. I offer my obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this entire universe simply by His desire and then entered into it as the Super Soul. By making the modes of nature act, He seems to be the direct creator of this world, just as a dreamer seems to be acting within his dream. He is the owner and ultimate controller of the three modes of nature, yet He remains alone and pure, without any equal. He is the supreme spiritual master of all, the original personal form of the Absolute Truth. This person he was meditating on, and his representative, Lord Shiva, he was speaking to. Please repeat. I offer my obeisances, to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does anyone remember the Sanskrit words in the verse that were that part? Offering obeisances to Supreme Lord. Yes? Tasmai namo bhagavate. Unto that Personality of Godhead. Who has created this material universe. Now here are the qualities of the Lord, because there's so many people who say, oh, I am God, we are all God, but we don't have the credentials. We can't do any of the things that God does. So here are some of the qualities of Him. Who has created this entire universe simply by His desire. Next time someone tells you that they're God, you ask him if he can create a universe by his desire, just by desiring it. And if he says, yes, but I don't desire it at this point, tell him, okay, sit down and go and meditate in the corner. Don't cause trouble. And then enter into it as a super soul. By making the modes of nature act. He seems to be the direct creator of the world. This world. Just as a dreamer. Seems to be acting. Within his dream. He is the owner. And ultimate controller. Of the three modes of nature. He's the owner and ultimate controller of the three modes of nature. Yet, he remains alone. And pure. Without any equal. He is the supreme spiritual master of all. The original personal form of the Absolute Truth. Here is the purport. The Supreme Lord releases His material potencies, and by their interaction, creation takes place. The Lord remains aloof as the supreme transcendental entity. Still, because the entire creation unfolds according to His design and will, His controlling hand is perceived within all things. People thus imagine that God is the direct builder of this world, although He remains aloof, creating through the manipulations of His multifarious potencies. Next verse. And then, after this verse, He's going to say what He desires. O all-pervading Lord. Okay, very nice. You want to repeat the prayerful mood of the Lord. But if you repeat this one, you have to be facing Radha-Balava. So you can do that. O all-pervading Lord, I have received the benediction of seeing you What other benediction can I ask for?
What other benediction can I ask for?
Simply by seeing you.
Simply by seeing you.
A person fulfills all his desires.
A person fulfills all his desires.
And can achieve anything.
And can achieve anything.
Anything imaginable.
Anything imaginable.
Now, the final, not the final verse, but yeah, the final verse of his prayer. So everything has been leading up that Markandeya Rishi has said. Remember, he's wandered around the waters of the devastation for millions of years, and then he's entered into the body of the Supreme Lord. And who was that Supreme Lord's body who he entered into? Do you know that one? Who he entered into, Markandeya Rishi? Yeah. Do you know? No. Does anyone know who he entered into? Krishna. What was Krishna doing? He was on a leaf. And what was he doing? Sucking his toe. He wanted to find out what his lotus feet taste like, because all the devotees are glorifying the sweetness of his lotus feet all the time. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that this indicates that type of desire of the Lord. It indicates the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came, the Lord came as a devotee to taste the sweetness of his own service. His service means his lotus feet. But he wasn't just an ordinary boy, because then with his inhalation, the entirety of existence went inside of this little boy on the leaf who was sucking his toe on the banya leaf. And Markandeya Rishi also entered in. And then he was there after having suffered in the waters of devastation for millions. And then with the exhale, he came out. And then he thought, oh no, am I going to have to go through the waters of devastation again? And suddenly, he was back in his ashram. He had desired and asked Lord Narayan for the benediction to see the Lord's Maya. And indeed he saw it. And it wasn't fun. He was overwhelmed. And then when he came out, he just went deeply back into his meditation, because he was an incredibly focused, pure, powerful meditator, devotee. And then Lord Shiva came. And Lord Shiva was so pleased with him. He and Uma and Parvati, they said to him, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. And this is his answer. He said, Lord Shiva was respecting him. And his first part of his answer was, how is it that the Lord, who is the Lord, is respecting his devotee? And then he moved his prayers to describing that Supreme Lord, the Bhagavat, he who possesses all opulence, and now finally he's going to say what he wants. He said, I don't really want anything, because you, seeing you, is the fruit of the highest benediction. It is the highest benediction, being in your presence. But, he says in the 34th verse, but I do request one benediction from you. Varam ekam. One benediction. Vini atapi. I request, nevertheless, I request one benediction from you. Now, what is he going to ask for? A new car? No. To be in charge of the whole universe? No. Just go through the inventory of all the things that we may request, that India wins the World Cup. No, he's not going to ask for that. He says, Purnat Kama Abhi Varshanat. I will make this request from you who is completely full, Purna, Kama, Abhivarshana, who is capable, because you are full, you're capable of showering upon everyone, Varsana, all benedictions. And what is he going to ask for? Here it comes. Bhagavati Achyutam Bhakti. I want bhakti to Bhagavat Achyuta, to Lord Krishna. Tat Pareshu. And to those who are dedicated to him, Tata Twayi, and also for you, to you. Because Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, I want devotion to you, to the Lord. If you will give me what I want, give me that actual devotion, not this Kaitava devotion that is in my heart now, my cheating devotion, where with one hand I'm giving and the other hand I'm taking. I want the real thing, bhakti. Because by the real thing, by bhakti, Krishna is pleased. This is the Abhideya Tattva. It is Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service, by which Krishna is pleased. And what is pure devotional service? Anyabhilasita sanyam gyanakama navrita anakulena krishna anashiram. This is what pure devotional service is. Pure devotional service is when I try to please Krishna just because he's the Supreme Lord, he's the most wonderful person. And when that is fully spontaneous and natural within our consciousness, then we are ready to receive what Krishna wants to give us. And that means his own abode and association with him and service to him and association with his devotees. And ultimately, what does he want to give to the devotees? Himself. Naparye hum. He remains indebted to his devotees, like the pastime of Sudama Vipra. When Sudama Vipra went from Porbandar, yes, he was in Porbandar, I think. That's where his place is. Raise your hand if you've been to Sudama Vipra's place. Only me. In Porbandar, Gujarat. And he was so poor that he was going to visit Krishna in Dwarka, but he had nothing to give Krishna, nothing that he could give to Krishna. He had to go out and beg some chick rice, and he would give that to Krishna. That's how poor he was. And then when he got to Krishna, he didn't ask for anything. Krishna treated him with so much affection and respect. And Krishna remembered with him their previous days in the Gurukula and their experiences together. And then the next day, Sudama Vipra left and Krishna didn't ask him for anything. He had given the chipped rice to Krishna. Krishna ate one mouthful and Rukmini Devi stopped him from eating any more. And then Sudama Vipra left and went home. He didn't ask anything from Krishna. Krishna didn't give him any benediction despite his incredible poverty. And then when Sudama Vipra was saying, when he was going home, he was thinking that Krishna knows my heart. He knows if I have material wealth, I'm going to get myself into trouble, so he didn't give me anything. He knew who Krishna was. But that's what he was thinking in his humility. But what Krishna was thinking was completely different. Sudama Vipra was thinking, because I'm such a fallen, contaminated soul, Krishna knows what's best for me. Whatever my situation is, whatever medicine I have, I'm taking, it's been prescribed by the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Doctor. But Krishna was thinking in a very embarrassed way that when someone gives me a gift, I wish to reciprocate with them at least equally. And Siddhama didn't have anything in his house, so he gave me that chipped rice, which is more than he had. And I am in a very difficult situation because of that. Because I have everything, and there's nothing more than what I have. So when you, if someone gives you a big gift, and you can't reciprocate them properly, you feel very embarrassed. So Krishna was feeling embarrassed that he couldn't properly reciprocate with Sudama Vipra. So therefore he didn't say anything to him. And then when Sudama Vipra got back to his place, then he saw all opulence were there, but Krishna was embarrassed to present such a meager gift to someone who had just given him more than he possessed. This is the personality that we're dealing with. The supreme personality, the giver of benedictions, who is bhaktivatsalya atma prajantava danyata, who gives himself to his devotees up to the point of giving himself. That's what he wants to do. That's what actually everyone wants to do, is give themselves. So he asks Markandeya Rishi, he asks just to have pure bhakti for Achyuta and the tadiyanam samachnam, those who are dedicated, his dedicated devotees, tatpareshu, and also, O dear Lord Shiva, I want to have bhakti for you, because you are tadiyanam samachnam, you are in touch always with the Lord. Now, I'll read the purport here. It's relatively short. And then I will ask you a question about what was most interesting to you in this purport. And then I will tell you something that I found very interesting about the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam up to this point and ending with this particular verse. But first we'll read the purport. The word tatpareshu tatamayi clearly indicates that Lord Shiva is a devotee of the Supreme Lord, not the Supreme Lord himself. Remember, you have an assignment now. Okay? You ready? I'm going to ask you. Yeah. Maybe. And you don't know whether I'm going to ask yourself. Please listen, but I probably will. If you raise your hand, I'll ask you. What's interesting for you in this purport? Lord Shiva is devotee of the Supreme Lord, not the Supreme Lord himself. Because the representative of God is offered the same protocol as God himself, Markandeya Rishi addresses Lord Shiva as Lord in previous verses. But now it is clearly revealed that, as stated throughout Vedic literature, Lord Shiva is an eternal servant of God and not God himself. Desire manifests itself within the mind and heart according to the subtle laws governing consciousness. Pure desire to engage in the loving service of the Lord brings one to the most exalted platform of consciousness, and such a perfect understanding of life is available only by the special mercy of the Lord's devotees. Anything interesting? Or do you remember anything? Do you want to think a little? Okay. Anyone else? Remember anything? Or anything of interest? Yes.
Lord Shiva is not the Supreme Lord. He is the devotee of the Supreme
Lord. Yeah, and the Sanskrit there indicates that. Vaishnavanam, Yata Shambhu also. Thank you. Anyone else? Tadiyanam samachanam. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
To reach the highest exalted platform of consciousness, one needs devotees.
The special mercy. Perfect understanding of life is available only by the special mercy of the Lord's devotees. Anyone else? Okay. Then I will tell you something that I thought was very interesting. That the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, where does it begin? Does anyone remember? Of course it begins in chapter 1, verse 1. But I don't mean on that level. It begins with, it's entitled even, it's the symptom, the second chapter is the symptoms of Kali Yuga, but in the first chapter there's the dynasties of Kali Yuga. There's a succession of the kings in Kali Yuga. And then how bad Kali Yuga is. And then after that, in the third chapter, it goes on to describe the Bhumi Gita about all the kings and foolishly trying to get power. And he's speaking to Sukadev Goswami at this point, is speaking to Maharaj Prickett, who is very soon going to what? To die. And he knows it. And this is very close to the end, because he leaves in the sixth chapter. Then in the fourth chapter, so he's telling them about Kali Yuga's coming. Get out. Get out. There's a succession of kings, one after another. This great one, and he had so many sons, and he did this wonderful thing, and then his sons did this, and then their sons did this. And everyone just becomes a name, practically speaking, in the succession of names. This brings detachment when one realizes that this is, that we're also in a succession of names and to our current situation. Because it's very important at the time when we're leaving this world, at the time of death, to be very detached from the material world. Because otherwise, full attachment to Krishna won't manifest. And if we're thinking about this and that and this and that, instead of thinking about Krishna, and it's not easy, especially at the most difficult time, painful, and relatives crying and this and that. But yes, we have to be detached. So he's giving him medicine to make sure there's no attachments in the material world. But he's already spoken the whole Bhagavatam already. Then no need finding power, third chapter. And then there's annihilation. It's like everything. Everything. Not only you. You may be thinking that you're unfortunate, that you're going to be annihilated, your body's going to be annihilated, but it's not only you. There are four different kinds of annihilations, and at some point, everything in existence, material existence, is annihilated. Everything. This is the material world. And then he gives some final instructions. And then finally, at the end of the fifth chapter, Sukadeva Goswami asks, I've already spoken to you 11 cantos of the Bhagavatam. He didn't say 11 cantos of the Bhagavatam, but I already spoke to you. Do you have any more questions? Do you have any more needs? Do you need to know anything more? Because it's time for you to leave this world. You've had 7 days' notice. Now it's time for you to go. Your ticket has come up. Is there any other way I can serve you? Is there any way I can help you? And is there anything you want to know or hear? And Maharaj Prickett says, no. I've understood. And then they worship Sukadev Goswami. And he leaves. But before he leaves, Maharaj Prickett asks him, he knew what to do, and what is it that he wanted to do? It was time for him to leave. all Brahmanas, I have no fear of Taksaka. I've heard with Srimad Bhagavatam. I've heard from you, this is what he says to Sukadeva Goswami, I've heard from you the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of the Puranas, which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord Uttama Sloka. My Lord, I now have no fear of Takchaka or any other living being, or even of repeated death, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. His consciousness was properly absorbed. And then he says, and this is the next to last thing he says, O Brahmana, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses into Lord Adhoksita, Krishna. I want to absorb my consciousness in him. Allow me to absorb my mind purified of all kam, all lusty desires, any material desire. Unto him, I want to absorb my consciousness free from anything material. I want to absorb my consciousness in him, and then to give up my life in that consciousness. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious. You have just spoken. First canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, tenth canto even. Krishna's pastimes. You've given me all that I can think about and absorbed in Krishna. And I want to do that. I want permission now to do that. I've heard enough. I've gotten all the information. You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, the supreme personal feature of the Lord. I am now fixed in knowledge and self-realization, and my ignorance has been eradicated. Sukadeva said, okay, my job is done. And he left. So Maharaj Prakrit had 7 days to live, which isn't very long. But that will come, point will come to each and every one of us that will have 7 days to live. So, if one has 7 days to live and follows the example of Maharaj Prakrit, what should one do? Absorb his consciousness fully in Krishna. Be Krishna conscious. Absorb one's consciousness purified of all other desires in Krishna. And then Sukadev leaves, and Maharaj Prakrit does that, and he leaves this world fully absorbed in Krishna. And then all the Vedic literatures are described in the sixth chapter, and then also in the seventh chapter, and at the end of the seventh chapter, then they mention the Markandeya Purana, and the question is asked by the sages of Namasaranya, Shonaka Rishi, about Markandeya Rishi. Now, Markandeya Rishi was a very interesting person, because he didn't have 7 days to live. How long did he live? A long time. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of years. And now, after having experienced the whole Lord's material energy and being the most expert focuser of his consciousness, and now he's getting the benediction to fulfill the desire of his heart after living for billions of years, what does he want? And we've just heard it. I want. I want to have unfailing devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati achutam bhaktim tat pareshu tata tayan, and all and everything connected to him and all the devotees who are his And you, the greatest of devotees, I just want bhakti, full absorption in Krishna's service. So whether we have 7 days to live, or 7 minutes to live, or 7 billion quadrillion years to live, or somewhere in between, which is most of our conditions, there's only one thing that should be desired. And what is that one thing? Yeah, pure devotional absorption in thoughts of Krishna, based on love and service. So we should take these points into consideration as we decide how we make our career choices and what we're going to do with our life. So we're somewhere in between 7 days and 7 billion years. Most of us, some of us are captive to a ripe old age, but it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Kadvanga Maharaj had a half a moment to live, and he became absorbed in Krishna's thoughts of Krishna's lotus feet. So the message of the Bhagavatam is coming to its close, and here is one of the very important points. And now we'll start to. There's one more chapter, and then the next to last chapter will summarize the Bhagavatam, and the last chapter will glorify the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is that which gives us, bestows upon us, the Bhagavatam, the holy name, the devotees, the Dham, and they bestow us upon us the ability to become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. In the association of devotees. So now if we take Markandeya Rishi's desires seriously, we have something to think about as to where our desires should be focused when it comes down to it. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna Mataji, I'm happy to see you.
I just wanted to know what was the significance of when Rukmini is stopping or Krishna eating more chips now.
Because the goddess of fortune, Rukmini Devi, didn't naturally wants her pleasure, her opulence, her fortune is meant to serve Krishna. That's what all opulence is meant to do. It is meant to serve Krishna. So to see Krishna have eating, this is one point, something so simple and unopulent was not acceptable to her, because naturally, as the wife naturally wants the benefit of the husband. Yes, Mataji? Yes, Prabhus? Yes? Now all the Prabhus say yes, my wife will say no. Wait, it's supposed to be the other way around, everyone says. But yeah, that's what's natural. And also, it was the gesture. Siddhama Vipa made the gesture. What does Krishna need? He knew the Lord is all opulent, so he doesn't need anything. What to speak of this meager thing? But it was the gesture of his devotion and love for Krishna that Krishna had accepted it. So the gesture had been made. The gesture was accepted. And that was enough to make the point. And similarly, When Raghunath Das Goswami, he was eating in such a humble, renounced, detached way, the rejected rice of from Lord Jagannath of Mahaprasadam, and he was just washing it. It was so old that the cows wouldn't eat it anymore. And then he was eating that. That was his sustenance. And when Mahaprabhu saw him, he took some of that and ate it. And what did he say? He said, "Oh, how come you have something, a really tasty food, and you're not sharing it with others? You're such a greedy fellow." And then he was going to eat more, and he ate some of it as a gesture to show Raghunath Das how much he appreciated his detachment from the sense of material enjoyment. And then soup domino, enough, okay. You've made the point, now you don't have to eat this anymore. So we should get the point. And the point is that not we should offer that Krishna likes chipped rice only. But he should be given the most opulent things that we can practically give him, but he'll accept whatever we give him if we give it to him with devotion. Well, it means to, in a simple way, to give up our identification with ourself as separate living entities who are meant to give ourself pleasure and identify with what would be pleasing to Krishna. Is that who we are? That's our identity, is one who gives pleasure to Krishna. So the false sense of identity is gone, and the real sense of identity of Krishna's servant is who we actually think of ourselves as. And then when we act in that way, we're surrendered. That's our natural position. That's to do with identification. So therefore, gotrupte varanam tata, that we place ourselves as Krishna's. We identify ourselves. The sense of identification changes to being Krishna's. I am Krishna's. And that will give us the ability to think of, and Krishna to think of us as his. If we think of ourselves as Krishna's, Krishna will think of us as his. He already does that, aham bija padapata, but he will activate the program, so to speak. That's the act. Surrender is the activation code. And don't try to bootleg it, this program, and go around it and cheat on it, because any other questions? One more, because it's quite late.
In Sudama's pastime, Sudama was giving the love and affection to the Lord, and in return Krishna has given him material offerings. We take that Sudama had so much of his prema was so much that he did not require further any transcendental offerings from the Lord.
No, but also it's described that he had a fault of detachment. I mean, not detachment, aversion. So this was medicine for him also. It wasn't Krishna reciprocated with his love by giving him something material, but there was the need for something material, so he provided that, because Krishna also, yogi chaimam baham yaham, he provides for everything. But in addition, on the high devotional platform, there should be no attachment to the material world, nor aversion to the material world, because after all, it's Krishna's. So Sudama's conclusion is, I'll just use everything in Krishna's service, and that's the proper conclusion. Whatever Krishna gives us, if he gives us palaces, then use palaces in Krishna's service. If he gives us chipped rice, then use the chipped rice in Krishna's service. According to our fate, who we are, things will be given to us in this life. All of us. And it will be different for each and every one of us. And we all have our different gifts. So whatever we have, Give it to Krishna. It's his. Any other points?
Asking another question on the same point. Sudama, when Sudama's wife was approached by Vishwakarma, then she said,
I'm going to ask you to answer it.
Then she said that I want palace for the whole village, for all the people. I don't want, I just want a clarification. Isn't it true?
I don't know.
Because she said, I cannot live in.
Who said that she said? And then I can tell you if it's true.
Vishwakarma.
Who said that she said?
Well, I saw the movie.
Oh! Okay.
Ramanand Sagar said. Ramanand Sagar.
Oh.
He said that.
And where did he get it from?
The Vishwakarma.
He didn't get it from Vishwakarma.
He must have consulted all the Puranas and everything. That's why he made his movie.
Oh, really? You believe everything you see in Bollywood?
He has done a lot of research, no doubt about it. He has made Krishna movie. Krishna has shown this.
Mahatma Prabhu. do you know that he always didn't get everything right? Do you know that? So I can't say. To tell you the truth, I can't say. But I do know, someone also once told me that, why didn't Krishna at least send him back by, send his car with him? He walked all the way there and then he made him walk all the way back. Why didn't he at least send him in a chariot? Do you know the answer to that one? You can ask Ramanand Sagar.
He didn't
do it. He should show this one. Because the answer was actually just before said by mere bodies of water. By Lord Shiva said this. Mere bodies of water do not constitute holy places. Nor are lifeless statues of the demigods actual worshipable deities, because external visions fails to appreciate the higher essence of a holy place than the demigods. These purify after a considerable time, but devotees like you purify immediately just by being seen. So he sent him through his village, all his kingdom. Krishna sent him through his kingdom so that the devotees of Gujarat could all see Sudama and be purified. And if you ask me who said that, I would say Lord Shiva. Because he said it right there. And also Narottama Das Thakur also says it in Ebara Kuruna Koro. Says he makes the same point. Did you notice that? Did Mataji mention that in the class yesterday? That the same point that Narottama Das Thakur makes, that Ganga purifies after a long time, but you, O Vaishnava Thakur, just by seeing you, immediately purifying. So that point is made here by Lord Shiva. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Radhabalava, Sisi Gonatai, Sisi Jagannath Balade, Subhadra Devi ki jai. Sisi Prabhupada Bhaktavinoda ki jai. Sisi Sudama Vipraki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai. Markandeya Rishi ki jai. Sudama's wife ki jai. The whole village ki jai. All the towns and villages around Dwarka in Gujarat and surrounding provinces and states. Kide. Hare Krishna.